Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how you doing? This is Jay Ross of Soul Cravers Radio. I have a very special guest, and I'm very honored for her to be on my show. Introducing Miss Donita Hathaway. Hello.
Hey. Good afternoon. Yes. Just a little old me.
Right. But it's a big deal with you, you know what I'm saying? Because what you're doing right now, you have the Donny Hathaway Legacy Project. And can you explain to everyone what's that all about?
Absolutely. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for having me. We've been really virtual friends for a number of years. And so I've just loved seeing your growth. I love following you and your posts and your music insight. And so, first of all, I want to start this with saying congratulations. And I know that this is only the beginning, and you have a lot under really, I know you have a plethora of things that you want to present to the world. And, you know, folks just need to get ready. So, starting off with that, first of all. So, thank you. And congratulations.
Thank you again. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So with that, the Donny Hathaway Legacy Project is a dream of mine that it's taken me a while to get here, but about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, there was a conversation that I had with a good friend of mine and coworker, Anasa Troutman, and we realized that my dad's 70th birthday was going to be that next October. And I think this was a Thanksgiving dinner. And so I expressed there are things that I've always wanted to see happen that hasn't happened, and it's very frustrating. And that, you know, something should be done. And I've been wanting something to be done to really honor my father's legacy and give him his things. But I also wanted to shine a light on mental health. And so through some conversations with her and really kind of earthing this idea, it kind of clicked. Like, okay, so number one, Anasa said, I will help you. I feel that I've always felt a connection to your father. And, you know, it would be a pleasure to help you. And then at the same time, I was getting to the point where I had enough under my belt to say, you know what,
right.
I'm looking for other folks to do it. I can do it.
Right.
You know, and so that was the birth of what the Legacy Project is. And what I envision that is, and part of the reason why it's a project as opposed to a foundation, is there's several things that I want to see accomplished, especially under the umbrella of my father's legacy and the things that I feel that he should have had a long time ago.
Right.
Like something like a Lifetime Achievement Award, which he received from the Grammys last year. Something like being inducted in a lot of these prestigious institutions, and like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, have a star on the Walk of Fame. Like, those are just like small things. But, you know, that he's deserved that. And it's he's been gone for over 40 years.
Right.
So it's, you know, there's a lot of work to do. I want to get a street sign in his name in Chicago and St. Louis. I've already was able to get Donny Hathaway Day in Chicago. We're going to do it again, and I want to do it in St. Louis and really have it be a big thing. So his birthday every year, I want to be able to really celebrate him in, you know, the cities that he grew up and loved and lived in. So it's, there's the music half of it. The other half is regarding mental health, because it's still, again, I gauged this as 40 years after my dad's passing. Not much has changed in terms of actually moving the needle when it comes to mental health.
Exactly.
Like, the conversations have gotten a little bit more prominent. There are folks who are coming out, and they're lending their name, and they're sharing their experiences, and they're saying it's important. But it still needs more traction. We need to actually move the needle with
exactly.
in regards to this. And so I wanted to not only share my father's story, but my own, and how my own struggles with it helps is hopefully will help a community, will help a generation, will help any human being living.
Right.
And that is using the approach of heartbreak to talk about mental health. That way you kind
wow.
of see yourself in it. You'll have some sympathy for other people when they're going through it. And we can help heal each other in a holistic manner if
right.
we just have this simple compassion and empathy for other people.
Mm-hmm. And I think that
and so
the music,
back to those.
Yeah, and I think that the music plays a big part of it, too, of the healing process. And, you know, like when people listen to your father's music and they're really influenced by it, like me as a fan of his. You know, he's like one of my top five male singers of all time. And his music played a big part of my life as me growing up, and I could truly relate. But, you know, the older I got, the more depth I got into his career and what he was dealing with. And when I first saw you on Unsung, when you was expressing it, and I was like, she's truly an advocate of this movement, not just in his legacy, but as in mental health, especially in our community, the Black community, which is a taboo.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That no one doesn't want to express. And I think that you play an advocate of expressing that.
Yes, because first of all, the fact that we're so removed from it is a shame, because we're the most, like, we're the top group of people who go through it.
Exactly.
Like, we're Black.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're going to have mental health struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that it's shunned and almost, I don't even say ignored, but it's like, hey, we don't do that. It's like, well, actually we do in massive numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you're afraid of this, and it's scary to talk about because it's something that you don't see yet. It's something that you do see. Like
right.
just in regards of this is a mental anguish that someone's going through, or it's a chemical imbalance. It shows
mm-hmm.
itself.
Exactly.
And so it's sad to me because I don't know. If I get a paper cut,
right,
you can give me all kinds of ailments and like how to, not ailments, you'll give me all kinds of like healing solutions on how to deal with it.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know, put rubbing alcohol on it. Did you put enough pressure on it? And here's your Band-Aid and get some, I don't know, peroxide or rubbing alcohol. Like, there's all kinds of things. If it's
right.
cancer, something a little bit more, we know is deadly. Can be deadly and devastating to the human body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all kinds of, you know, compassion and sympathy and pink ribbons and walks and parades and like all of these things, because you know that that person is suffering.
Exactly.
But if I'm having a mental breakdown, it's like everyone is exiting stage right. Like there's no compassion there. It's like, but with all these other things, you seem to want to lend your support because those
mm-hmm.
folks are suffering. But if I say it's something mental, folks disappear. Like, why is that?
Right.
And it's so unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And we're losing a lot of people that way. And so
right.
I wanted to be a part of actually. Like if I could just save one person from any kind of mental anguish where they would consider going to the point of taking their own life, if I could save at least one person, then I've done my job. But I know it's bigger than that, because there are people who they may not have committed suicide, but they have kind of checked out on life.
Right.
And so what about those people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, there's a lot of people hurting, and there's a lot of people that we can help if we just become the village that we used to be.
Exactly. I think, like you said, it takes that one person to initiate it, to make it happen. And I feel that with the need of it, that us as our Black people as a unit, we need to embrace it together and work as a unit to help each other. You know, either, like I said again, one person that can make a difference because they're here to listen. It could be a room full of people, and you, that person, and you going through emotion, and then that one person that shows that compassion, it could just change your life. Because sometimes people need a whole bunch of people to make a person feel needed and wanted. But if you have that one person that takes initiation to help that person, that person can make a big difference in that person's life. And that's
Absolutely.
What I see with you, because your outreach for it is major, not just going through the music part of it, but like the prevention of it, to be educated on it, to, you know what's going on. Because like I said, in our Black community, we don't have these foundations where people could go to it to get the help and talk to people that's relatable in the topic.
Right.
It's weird, and it's sad.
I think the sad thing is there are professionals, like there's therapists and psychiatrists who will speak on the matter, and even like just your regular doctors who can speak on the matter, but for some reason they don't get the same amount of respect as an influencer would. Like,
mm-hmm.
They're trained in this field. Now, part of it, I understand, especially if they're trying to sell you a pill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, you know, folks don't want to take because it makes you feel worse than you did before you went and saw them. And
right.
I know my father definitely had that issue, and medication and really those resources weren't the same in 74 through 79. You know, things
exactly.
have definitely changed. But people today will still tell you, I hate taking my medication because it makes me feel worse than I did before I started taking it, so why take it?
Exactly.
Now, that's only one means, though. Like,
mm-hmm.
just the art of therapy and being able to talk with a trained professional about what's going on in your life, whether
right.
something bad is happening or not, is absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take that weight off of you. Now, if you can't afford therapy, I don't know, have a group chat or have those friends or family that you can confide in and get that weight off.
Right.
Because that stuff, it gets real heavy real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure you have the least amount of weight possible. In fact, to turn this into music, a song that really changed me was Erykah Badu's Bag Lady.
Wow.
Because, you know, it took me a second to really understand what she was saying, but I literally was the type of person who would carry multiple bags on me, and they would be heavy, and they would weigh me down, like just literal bags, like a backpack. And it's just the weight of, you are going to hurt your back dragging all those bags like that. Like,
right.
If you go through the lyrics of the song, that weight of the world will get you down, but, you know, you got you.
Right.
And, you know, that's the beautiful thing about that album. I fell in love with. Man,
that
Erykah got a fan out of me.
Right, that album was a mood. Every song on there was a mood. I mean, it was like she was going through her personal page of her book, and
mm-hmm.
she made it into a metaphor because we could truly relate in each song topic. Like you said, Bag Lady. When I first heard Bag Lady, I said, whoa, this is deep. I mean, it flipped my head because the other songs like Green Eyes, where she was going through an emotional change in the song, especially in a relationship. Like she was fighting him, but she can't fight him, and she wants to be with him, but she's fighting to take him back. So, yeah, the album is very relatable in every sense, like for me too. That made me a bigger fan. I was already a fan with the first album, but the second album just took me in because I was like, didn't you know? And I was like, wow. I'm just getting goosebumps talking about it because that album is like a sanctuary. It's a sanctuary because it's relatable. And, you know, when you have music like that, and music is a savior for me because people always ask me, why are you so happy? Why you don't let stuff bother you? Because I'm under the influence of music. Music is a transitioning for me to move me every day. So if I feel like a bad mood, I'll probably put on like some Billie Holiday. But it's one song that changed my whole life as growing into the person I am, which is Still Is Hyman and Going to Make Changes.
Ooh,
that song is very relatable to my life. And it's a song by your father that's relatable to me in my life. And, you know, I'm a B-side person. I tell everybody that. So I go into the groove of the album. I go into the album. I don't just like, oh, let me listen to the song. No, I go into it. And it's a song called I Know It's You by your dad. Man, that song is like a uplifting for me. And it's so spiritual. Mm. And, you know, shout out to the late Leon Ware that wrote the song. Oh, my God. Man, that was like a pen and felt. When I say a pen and felt, that means when they wrote that, it was a relatable situation. And your dad, when he sung it, it was like I felt the grainy of the song because it was like I hear it in the mic when he was feeling it. And I mean, I was like, oh my God, I know he was having a moment in that song because you could feel it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's,
you know, that's
why
the beauty of, oh, I'm sorry. That's the beauty of my dad.
Yeah.
I think what makes my father different than Marvin and Stevie is I don't care what song it was. And a lot of times he took other people's songs. Like he covered so many great songs.
Oh my
goodness. Yeah, we can talk about that. My dad is the I call him the cover killer. Like DJ Morgan is the live show killer. Like my daddy is the cover killer.
Right.
He would take your song. Like just straight take your song. This song no longer belongs to you, R.I.P. And I'll get into that in a second, but when Donnie sang a song, you believed him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you could feel what he was saying. And I think that's the difference between, like, all of the versions of A Song for You or even all of the versions of This Christmas, which gets everyone into an uproar.
Right.
No one can sing a song like Donnie sang a song.
Amen.
And I think that was his brilliance. But I also think that is what prevented the success that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the truth of the matter is, because I just had this discussion the other day, why hasn't my father really been honored the way that he should? And I know the question that I've always asked myself is, well, Stevie is beloved, but you know he's definitely gotten his flowers. Marvin,
right,
who's been gone for a while now, has definitely gotten his flowers. My father has not. So why? And there's, I think there's a few elements there. There are the people who would green light the projects saying no is definitely a factor. There is a fear of this man. I have been told this man has already died. Why don't you let him stay dead? Like, I've heard stuff like that. Right. So it's, there's that factor. There's living up to who he was, which in that regard, thank God for Layla, because that's something that she obviously wasn't afraid of and honored him just so beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she has that tone. Like, how can you not?
Right.
Like, can you imagine if Layla ended up like trying to go pop or like just not having the voice that she had, or, you channeling that in a different direction?
Exactly.
You know, it would be like, I think folks would be mad. Like, number one, how dare you? Donny Hathaway is your father. You know, but you kind of can't help yourself. But I think when she finally got in her own space where she was comfortable, like, it just flows. And it's like, my God, you know. But then it's, I think when it comes to my father, because there was that voice that can make you cry, or that voice that you want to fall in love with, people are afraid of realness. And I feel, to be honest, that if you are bringing up Donny Hathaway, there are several very real things in all kinds of spectrums that you have to acknowledge. So whether it's his genius or his pain, or the vulnerability.
Right.
People have a hard time dealing with that a lot of times because they're hurt because of something associated with him, like personally, like if they knew him. But even just your average person, sometimes they'll say, hey, I can't take your dad on certain occasions because he'll make me cry.
Right.
And that kind of should be like, and? The fact that people, like, I know people will say, like, I don't watch This Is Us because it makes me cry. My direct response is, good, you need to cry. What's wrong with crying? Like, people just don't like feeling in that vulnerable space where they have to, you know, evoke that emotion. But I tell you this, I'd rather do it watching This Is Us or listening to Donny Hathaway as opposed to when someone dies or when you're in that level of pain where you have heartbreak or what have you. I'd rather have some of that already released where I would be able to face it better. You know, so I guess that ties it back into the mental health piece. But, I mean, my dad, it was as real as you can get in every I guess, avenue.
Right. And I think, like you said, that your father's music has an impact. It was featured in a lot of movies, shows, commercials.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a good impact. But like I said, did it take so many years? Like, we have people in this industry that are real artists that they always mention your father's name, but why are they not pushing it out there to give this man what he needs, his recognition? Because he did so much, and his background of work that he did for popular artists, like one of them was Aretha Franklin, being a session player in her, you know, albums back in the early 70s. And, you know, he has a background recognition. It's so much that your father's music is impact. Like, if you're a real music kid like myself that goes in depth of his whole career, especially what he did for soul music, but why he doesn't get that recognition. And that's why I appreciate you so much for this platform that you're doing to push it out there. We need to hear more of him. We need people to know that. Do not count him out. He is one of the advocates of soul music in that time being. but we should not count him out because he was a real artist.
A real artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like when my dad was going to Howard, they would say that they couldn't teach him anything.
Are you serious?
Nothing that he didn't already know. Yeah, so like my father was, because he got a scholarship to Howard. Like he was that level of genius. And so even him going the secular route, I know was I know it was a challenge for him. One, because he was definitely criticized and ostracized from that community that raised him in the church.
Mm-hmm.
In a dire way. They shunned him. Like we hear that with a lot of artists. A lot of artists that leave the church and then just cross over.
Yes.
It's like, well, how dare you? And like the fact that still goes on boggles my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Utterly. I can go into a whole tangent with that in the church, but people told him that he'd be better off dead than singing secular music.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like, word? Word. So that's the God that you serve that said that? Or is that just your own opinion?
And I feel that's their own opinion.
You know it's their own opinion. But don't put that on the Bible. Don't put that on church. Don't put that on God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's not the God that the rest of us serve. That's not the God that he serves. But, you know, you got to be careful. And when I look at things that happen now, like especially in terms of like cancel culture, you got to be careful what you're spewing on folks.
Because
what I had just said was they told him he'd be better off dead than singing the music he was singing. So look what happened. And so the words mean things. You got to be careful what you say to folks, and don't put your own insecurities off on other people. That's not for you to do. He's living his life, honoring his gift, which was excellent. And when you listen to his music, he kind of encompassed all of those things whether it was church or Black pride or falling in love or falling out of love, like all of that was in his music.
Right.
And they still, you know, they still kind of nailed him to the cross because of it.
Mm-hmm. And I felt because of the realness of his texture of musical genius that he had, like you had songs to be young, gifted and black, you know, the liberation of Black power back then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of labels back then, they kind of like didn't include that into radio play because they wanted to be happy and lively. But at that time, we was going through a lot of depression at that time. You know, as Black folks, you know, to be uplifted, we needed an anthem. Like you had James Brown with I'm Black and I'm Proud, had Marvin Gaye with mm-hmm. What's Going On, had Stevie Wonder with you know, it was
everything.
Just a lot of realness in the music, you know, and they were trying to hide it, you know, because everybody felt, oh, we need some happy music. No, we need some music that people can relate and say, hey, this is what I'm going through right now. And, you know, with Donny Hathaway's music at that time, you know, you listen to like the title, the strong title, Extensions of a Man. You see the title, you're like, oh, hey, you know, that's about to be like an uplifting album. So, you know, when you have artists like him that's real, they don't get that recognition because it was not commercialized. It was at the times of what they were going through. And a lot of times the labels shun that. And that's the label's fault, I feel. And it's not the artist's fault because this is what the artist is putting out and what they're doing in the studio to, you know, get the felt out and tell people, hey, this is what I'm going through.
Right.
And it's just like, wow.
Yeah, you know, it is partly the label's fault, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that some of it is the consumer, and this is why. Even when we think about music today, a lot of the artists that I know you and I listen to don't get the recognition. Like, they're coming from a real place. It's real music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's soul music. It's something that everyone can relate to, but it doesn't trend. Like, it had its little moment, maybe from 2000, maybe 2003, and they said, okay, that's enough. and it's something that when it was pushed, you know, there was a, I don't know if it was because it was a beginning of a new decade, and in particular that it was 2000, that people's antennas were kind of up and working, and that they were able to appreciate what D'Angelo did with Voodoo, kind of. Even though they criticized him when Voodoo came out. That's a whole nother tangent. But I remember they're like, what in the brown sugar? Like, what is this? Where is Brown Sugar Part 2? Like,
I think that album took so long for him to do because it was the label that, like you said, was the consumer, because that album was real. It was real artistry. It was real instrumentation in it. It was lyric content that was real. And I think what the label was trying to do, they said, oh, yeah, we want something like another Brown Sugar. But you see how long it took for him to do that album. And Brown Sugar came out like in 95. And then this album came out in 2000. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Well,
so, you know,
well, one, he's clearly on a Sade pattern of putting out albums. But you know what? Like you said, it's the label, but it's also the consumer. Because I remember when it came out that people were disappointed that it wasn't a Brown Sugar Part 2.
Right.
And so what do you do when it's like, well, what is this? When the public is saying, what is this? When that album is finally put out, and as long as it took, it's finally put out. And you got a whole bunch of people who are disappointed that there's no more Dreaming Eyes of Mine, that you talking about, I don't know, left or right, or, you know, going to Africa. Like it just, some folks didn't get it. Right.
It's bad joint. So, yeah.
Yes. So it is a label, but some of it is the consumer. And I feel that we live in a society where we want the McDonald's version of things, but don't have the patience or even the appreciation for the home cooked meal that you have to prep for hours and bake or grill for. Like, we'll really bake for hours. Like, we don't appreciate, and the key word is appreciate, all of the work that goes into, let's say, what's home cooked soul food. Like, oh my God, you threw down is probably the extent.
Right.
Like, oh my, like, you put your foot in this. Oh my God, I know. How long did it take for you to get these greens or what have you? Like the appreciation of really what's an art, because everyone can't do it.
Right. And it's called a brew. Everything is a brew. It's timing.
Right.
It's timing. And so I feel like now with the commercial industry, and they're not going to like me what I say, is that everything is microwave. And when you have real artistry, everything is like an oven. You know, you got the four burners, and you got everything brewing. And, you know, and everything is a timing. And so, you know, when you have artists like that in that industry, and, you know, we are the fan base, we're going to promote it. We're going to promote it. We're going to listen to it. We're going to tell people, hey, listen to it. Because, you know, our music is relatable. We like the same type of people, you know, and the same type of music. And everything is relatable. And we need that artistry. But now it's like, being independent is the basic thing to do nowadays to get heard by your fan base and let people know, hey, I'm still doing what I love. I'm doing this for you. come out and support. You know, when they have these venues, you know, people need to go out and support them and go see them. Or, you know, they're on the radio, you know, support them, you know, share the links and let them know, hey, this is what's going on right now with them. Hey, I'm still here. I'm still with you guys. I'm still riding with you guys. And that's why I like when I see artists like that that I support. Because there was another artist I supported, Donnie. I supported him.
Donnie.
Yes, I paid.
Yes.
I paid for some money. I paid for his project to get done. He said, hey, I'm doing the color selection again, and me and him had these talks, but he said, I'm not giving up. He said, I'm not letting nobody get me down to do what I love. So he said, I'm doing a re-recorded of it. I said, hey, you got my back 110% on it. What do you need me to do? He sent out a PayPal link. Boom, I pay for it. Like, here, I can't wait to get my copy. Take your time with it.
Right.
You know,
well, number
man?
One, can we just have a moment for one of the greatest albums ever, The Color Section? Because really,
O-M-G.
That album right there, number one, still goes, still bops, all of that. Give me, come on, play, give me Rocket Ship. Give me his version of You Got a Friend. Come on. Now you got to start with Rocket Ship. Like, come on.
You got a friend.
Like, there is, that album was so perfect that it's, once again, I think it kind of scared people. And
right.
It didn't get, I remember when it came out, and it was a nice little underground. But then this is also, I think, 2003, when that
Motown
whole movement was
out.
Really on its way out. Yes.
Yeah.
And so I remember when they re-released it. By the time they re-released it, it was almost already too late.
Right.
And when they did that, it didn't have the proper push.
Mm.
Like, he was really coming in at the end of a very short era. And, you know, thank God a lot of us caught it because
right. He
was, that body of work was everything.
Exactly.
Like, I'm probably about to put that on right after this. and I will just put this out to the universe because I've talked to Donnie and I want him to do a tribute, Donnie Salutes Donnie. Because,
God.
That would be come on.
Got to work that out.
Yes, I've talked to him about it. So there's that. When I had my last tribute show here in Atlanta, which was the launch of the Legacy Project, he was the first. He was He was the second artist that I called. First artist that I called is Frank McComb, just because it's Frank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
But Donnie was the second person, and he had another obligation, so he couldn't do it. But could you imagine his version of You Got a Friend going into Donnie and Roberta, You Got a Friend? Like, come on.
Oh,
that's going to happen, okay? I don't know where or how, but You've Got a Friend meets You've Got a Friend by Donnie and Donnie.
Right.
Like, we are going to make that happen. But
well,
you know,
I hope you take this a tour, like this Donnie Legacy project. I hope it goes on tour. That would be so dope.
That's definitely the goal.
I can see it. If y'all need to do a GoFundMe or anything with it, you got my money with it because I want this to happen because we need this because I can see it because it needs to be done. It needs to be heard and it needs to be out there for people to know your father's legacy is still alive. And then you have these artists that's doing it that are influenced by your father's music. That played a big part of who they are as artists. And we need that to be heard.
Well, I will put this out there. I don't know how it's going to manifest, but I've been putting this out there for a while. This July, and you're like one of the key folks who I follow who post anniversary of albums.
Mm-hmm.
So this July is the 50th anniversary of Everything is Everything.
Yep. And I'm just about to mention
so, yes. It's also the 50th anniversary of This Christmas. So it's and it'll be my dad's 75th anniversary this October. So, like, 2020 has been a year that I've been looking towards and really mindful of for a long time. Really for, the past 5 years. Like, okay, 2020 is going to be a big year. I want to take advantage of these anniversaries. So how it's going to play out, I'm not quite sure. But what I want to do is to be able to bring that album in its entirety live. Like if I can do five cities, Atlanta, Chicago, St. Louis, L.A., in between New York and D.C.
Right, and I can see that happening.
Let me just fix.
I can see that happening.
Yeah.
And you have my mad love and support with it, so anything I could do, I could help promote it. I'll be right there to do it because we do need this. But we're out of time.
No!
And I appreciate you so much, Donita, again, for us having this talk and your outreach. You got my support, and you keep doing what you're doing. Because it needs
Thank
to be
you.
Done. Because, you know, fans like me is very appreciated at this time what you're doing, and I love it. And thank you guys
you.
For
Same
tuning
here.
In for Soul Cravers Radio. And you could, you know, tell everybody where they could reach you at. Where they could.
Yes. So I have a website, DonnieHathaway.org, on all socials. You can find me. Two places. One is Donnie Hathaway LP. That's L as in legacy, P as in project. And also at Donita Camille on all socials. Both of those are 100% me. So, come say hi. Talk to me.
Right. She don't bite. She's real good people, y'all. I've been knowing her.
I am.
She's real good people. She's real good people.
Thank you.
And I thank you guys for tuning in. You know, check out every Sunday at 12 p.m., 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Soul Cravers Radio. This is Jay Ross. Thank you for tuning in. I'm signing off. Have a blessed one. Peace.
Peace.